Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
Harden trying to work past Williams. Jones with the block. Two on the shot clock. Harris gets it off. In and out. Tipped into the air.
Jones. What a defensive play by Derrick Jones Jr.
And White gets fouled with 6 seconds left. Derrick Jones Jr. off the bench with the block in the final seconds of the possession.
And he came out there with no flex all 454 on. He's been sitting on the bench almost the whole second half. And came, watch this big block. Comes over, no soup for you, no Philly cheesesteak, nothing.
They still use Flexol?
Maybe. Is it still a thing?
It was the same ingredients as Bengay. It was just, I think it was made popular by that old Phoenix trainer, remember Joe Prosky?
Yes.
He looked like a bridge troll. We used to take this Phoenix Suns media guide. And if you could do it like a flip book with their team photos when they used to have the paper media guide, and you could just watch Joe Prosky, and he was always on the end, and you could just watch him slowly age. It was really interesting. I don't even know if he's still around, but he was the dude that sort of popularized Flexol, and it's wintergreen oil. So you walk in those lockers and say, woo, man.
It's been a rough day. Yeah. Someone needed to loosen up.
Right. I mean, like old dudes always sit there sipping their coffee and they have somebody rubbing their knees with it. But Derrick Jones Jr., he weighs about 20 pounds, but the guy can jump 50 inches in the air.
46. No soup for you, no Philly cheesesteak, nothing.
46-inch vertical on that man still, and he got after it. I thought it was interesting yesterday. Billy, because, you know, you have to figure out how in the world are you going to be able to defend against Joel Embiid, and Billy kind of broke down what his strategy was last night.
Obviously, with Javante coming back, I think those two guys had paired very well. I tried to in the first half. I wanted to see what it would look like, taking Vooch off a little bit earlier and letting Vooch play with the second unit and not have to match his minutes with Embiid. And then let Drum kind of come in and play and see what that looked like. And it was fine. But I thought Vooch and that group was playing pretty well in the third, especially later in the third. So Vooch went pretty deep. And then I just decided to start Javante and DJ together in that fourth. And then they were really trying to, I think, protect Embiid with the foul trouble. So they were moving him around. But what happened was we were able to kind of get DJ in a lot of pick and roll actions with him. And then he found ways to get into the pocket, some slashes to the rim, active block at the end of the game. So it was just, I felt, you know, with Reed being out there, they really don't post him very much. He's more of a roller. I thought we could switch a little bit more and maybe kind of use our length and the ability to switch some with those two guys, Javante and DJ. And, you know, Javante, I think I mentioned before the game, we weren't going to keep him too long minute-wise, but DJ, I think, was playing well. I kind of rode him for a while, and then he thought he got a little bit tired.
That's really interesting.
It's good coaching.
It's good coaching. I am of the mind when the other team's star player, and especially that star player, picks up number five.
Attack.
Go at him every time. Every single time, relentlessly, put in who or figure out who he's guarding primarily, and it doesn't have to be in a screen roll action. Hell, isolate him, and just have him put it on the floor against him, lean a shoulder into him, attack, attack, attack. And I know in the NBA that last foul on a star is going to take something obvious, but foul him out while you got the chance. Don't let it just be happenstance.
Yeah, I thought it was, in the foul itself was kind of,
yeah.
Doc was like, Doc's post game was really good because someone asked him about, hey, you know, why didn't you challenge? And he was like, because it was a foul. And like, that was it. Like, we're not gonna waste the time out on something that was clearly a foul. It was a foul, so you move on. And Embiid got his numbers. Like, he was great last night. Was it 37-15 for him? But I love, because we get on Billy. We get on Billy all the time for not coaching the game that's in front of him. He did that. He had a good strategy. Take Andre Drummond and say, hey, Dre, go lean on him for 6 minutes. That's all. It's all we need. Just lean on him and see what you can do. And then we know.
Just stay basket side.
That's all you got to do. And they threw different people at him. And the my guy, B-Ball Paul, came in there. And he's not a post-up player.
No, he's a big, strong man, though.
He is. I'm very happy for him. He's a good kid. And it still makes me mad, though. You had two NBA players on a DePaul team that won 10 games.
You know what I think Doc was doing, too?
Still makes me mad.
You know what I think Doc was doing? I think that is a coach whose team has won 8 in a row, and he knows they've got work to do.
Yep.
And he gets that loss. He's like, I'm gonna
get into him.
Yep. I'm going to make him feel this one.
Yeah, I'm going to get into him a little bit. Let them know they're not as great as they think they are, even though they're pretty great.
Right. Right. It's a good opportunity. And usually a lot of coaches will do that after a win. They'll do the I'm really mad thing after a win. But sometimes.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got the win, but we can't play like this. You know how that goes. But that seemed to me like, okay, this is a chance for me to get a little coachy on him.
How do you feel about the Bulls right now?
I think Wednesday, tomorrow, is going to tell us something, because I don't think Philly's going to miss those same threes. And that's a different game if they don't just happen to miss open shots. And the Bulls contested okay. I mentioned there was an adjustment that I think Philly can make. On many of the Bulls' closeouts, particularly to the corners, I think they overclosed. I think they.
So you're out of control as you're trying to close out.
Yeah, I don't think they took advantage of it. I would rather see a close, especially in the corner, when you have the baseline to help you. When you got the guy kind of boxed in there, stop. Use your verticality. Use your length. You don't have to go flying out to the corner because you got a guy out of position there. And you get, whether it's a pump fake or whether it's your weak side cut baseline dunks. Like I do think if the Bulls continue to close out that aggressively, there's a counter that could leave them vulnerable.
Okay.
I like them being there. I think there's too many risks of fouls and too many ways to get out of position. I also would love to know if Caruso's going to play tomorrow.
Well, that's very important. But we've seen this team over the last 3 weeks play better basketball overall. And we had a theory yesterday that it's because of DeMar. DeMar saved them again last night. You know, like this wasn't Zach's best performance. And Beverly shot, 2 for 10 or whatever it was from the floor?
Yeah, but Beverly set a tone defensively, and especially standing in front of, you know, what is he, 290, whatever Embiid is, and taking a knee to the nuts.
He also gave up a point in a possession late in the game because he wouldn't calm down with how aggressively he was guarding the inbound on James Harden, which are things that come along with having Patrick Beverly on the team. I thought that Patrick Williams last night was up for the challenge.
Yeah, he just missed open shots. They weren't bad shots, and he was not hesitating. Zach missed good shots, too. Like, I don't mind that. Keep shooting those threes. Keep shooting. And whatever Stacey says about, you know, you'd rather have the contested two, I wouldn't. And I hope Billy's not telling him some of the stuff that's being said.
The contested two or the uncontested two?
It was a moment where Vooch had a guy on his back, and he's saying, give it to Vooch, and Kobe White is standing out there. I'm like, no.
No, if it's a breakaway and it's you're passing up a dunk or a layup, I mean, no, I don't want that. But if you have a clear mismatch in the post, fine.
Mouse in the house, free cheese.
Yeah.
Agreed. But all things being equal, take the three. And if you miss it, take it again. Take it next time. Because making it is good.
Bulls shot 21% from behind the arc, but they shot 33 threes. So that's about where you, like, maybe a little bit more, but it's about where you want them to be.
And at no point did I say, oh, bad shot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There weren't a lot of bad shots from three. There,
the only bad shots I don't like are long twos.
Someone did rush one.
The ones that make, well, there's, I mean, end of shot clock out, and they did have a lot of end of clock possessions, especially early.
There's a Derrick Jones Jr. three where I was like, yeah, you could have gotten a better shot.
So you asked me what I think of the Bulls. Let's ask Billy.
You know, I don't know if I don't want to say we've figured anything out, because I think anytime you feel like you figured something out, you lose an opportunity to grow, right? So, but I think the one thing we have done, at least of late, which has been something we've struggled with, is, you know, whatever word, let go of the rope, you know, frustration, disappointment, like runs and can't shut them off, and it just kind of like snowballs, and we just can't put the brakes on to stop it. You know, up 27 against Miami. It wasn't the prettiest 12 or 14 minutes from about the 10-minute mark in the third period all the way down till about, you know, 8 minutes. But we kept grinding and playing. The Minnesota game, the same thing. Here tonight, the same thing. We just got to compete, and we got to play with an urgency and a toughness and a physicality. And when things don't go well, to me, it's the adversity and the challenge and the difficulty where you got to pull together as a group, not individually, as a group. And I like our huddles a lot more in terms of the communication. There were times, I think, in the past, sometimes we get a little bit quiet. I think guys are trying to internalize what they have to do. But we got to get to a place that we have to do it together. It's not everybody's got a job to do, but we got to do our jobs together. So I think I'm hopeful that maybe that's been help us grow, just to have that kind of mentality to fight and compete in those moments. And I think we've struggled in those moments, quite honestly. In the last couple moments, we've gotten the outcome we've wanted in terms of the result. But I do, like, even if we would have lost, I really feel like we were battling and competing.
Shouldn't take until the end of March to have good huddles.
It really shouldn't. But that is an area where, if you're looking to say, here's the type of difference that Patrick Beverley makes on the team, maybe they just needed someone to unlock, like someone to facilitate conversation. Maybe it wasn't Dragic, or Io doesn't feel comfortable enough to be in that position to do that. Maybe he still feels like, I'm the young guy on this team, I should probably just look and learn.
No, he's always been vocal. I think DeMar has encouraged that ever since he first stepped on the floor as a rookie.
Yeah, but vocal on the floor as things are happening are a little bit different than being vocal in the locker room or vocal in the huddle when there's limited time. The coach is talking, your stars are talking, like finding your space. So maybe that's a place where we can give credit to Patrick Beverley for this. But you're right. It shouldn't take till March. Like, that's one of those things where there was a trade deadline. You could have addressed it then or earlier in the season if you didn't have the right parts to kind of make it work. But the making it work part is the part that's interesting to me. What does any of this mean? What does it mean to them? Do they look at this and say, all we needed, does that...
All you needed to do what? To try to get in the play-in? To solidify a spot in the play-in?
I think that they will look at it as, if we had just had a point guard, we wouldn't even be in the play-in. We'd be the sixth seed or higher. I don't know, but it felt like when they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, that's what AK was telling us. I want to give these guys 28 games to figure out what's going on. Now there's 11 left, and they can look at these last 12 that they've played and say, well, we've reached, this is our potential. So how does AK view the Bulls reaching their potential? And does that change the way that he's going to attack the offseason, who he brings back, who's a part of this, how it can all work? How do you go about making Vooch happy? Is there enough evidence that he can present it and say, no, my first thought was right. We're a team that can contend in the Eastern Conference. That's not my opinion. I'm just wondering if they're thinking that if Zach's healthy, because now we're seeing, I think Zach has an argument for player of the month in March. I think he has a legit argument for it. But if they look at it and say, look, Zach's healthy, DeMar's figured out how he can be better We've got a point guard.
I still don't like how it all fits together, ultimately. I really don't.
I don't either, but I'm trying to figure out what they believe.
Well, how will we ever know? He doesn't talk. And when he does talk, he's got a plane to catch.
He does have a plane to catch.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.